There's been some correspondence in papers recently about how is it best to talk with somebody? Is it face-to-face? Is it side-by-side? Is it seated? Is it standing? I think it was decided, especially if you're wanting to talk to a teenager, it's probably best when you're both in a car and the teenager can't get out. But it could be when you are walking. And walking alongside is the best way to be able to interact with another. And perhaps one of the best ways is to ensure you're holding hands so you go alongside the person you're talking to. And so it is with God. He wants us to put our hand in his. And when I'm walking the dog, I will often find actually that I put my hand out as if I want God to take my hand as I walk and talk in my prayer with him. Paul, as we know, has been encouraging the Colossians to overcome the heresy, which was really twofold. One was to deny the divinity of Christ, and the other was there was to be a special secret knowledge on top of the gospel. I hope perhaps you have taken the opportunity to read this really encouraging letter, starting off as it does with the prayer for the Colossians, prayer and thanksgiving. Last week, David led us as we looked at the supremacy of Christ, exploring his story, which becomes our story. And last week, Paul reminded us that Jesus is indeed the head of the body, the church, and we pick this up in our passage today. And Paul picks up this theme there in verse 19. And today he wants us to focus on our freedom in Christ. The fact that we are complete in Christ, that we are living in Christ and walking and talking with him. You might say you didn't see where it says at all in here about walking with Christ. But in fact, in that first verse, verse 6 there, Paul writes, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Now that's a paraphrase of a direct translation would be to walk around with him. The Greek word is peripateia. You've heard the word peripatetic. To a travelling teacher, somebody who walks around, goes around. And that's literally what Paul is saying. Walk with Christ. And what he goes on to explore, and we will look at briefly this morning, is how we can follow that walk ourselves with him. He calls us to hold out our hands so that he can guide us and lead us. And what is the thing about walking? You're not standing still. You've either got to go forward or you've got to go back. So if we set our hearts and our minds and our aspiration on walking with Christ, we are going to be going forward with him. That's part of the positive decision that we need to be taking as Christians to continue to deepen our relationship with him as we walk and talk with him. You might wonder, where has Jesus walked with me? He's walked with you from the beginning. We might not know it, but we need to acknowledge that. And especially, he has been with us from our baptism, because we are with Christ in that new covenant. Paul talks a lot here about circumcision, and circumcision was that act of belonging, a sign of belonging under the old covenant in relationship with God. And here he reminds us that we are buried and made alive with Christ in our baptism. So that is our sign of our belonging to God in our relationship with him. As Paul says, we were buried, we were raised, and we were forgiven our trespasses. When you were dead in trespasses, God made you alive together with him. Next week, it so happens, as we continue our series looking at the Lord's Prayer, we're going to be exploring what it is when we ask God to forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. But Paul gives us a taste of what that means when he says that the record that stood against us, the old law, has been nailed to the cross. Not just the old law, but the IOU listing our debts to God. They are forgiven. They are taken away for us. They have been paid for by Jesus. You may call to mind that lovely verse in Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. They shall be washed clean and made white. So Jesus has walked alongside us throughout our lives of success, our lives of failure, as we need to remember to turn back to him. We are forgiven, but we do need to come and confess when we fall short. And Jesus is walking alongside us now in these new lives that he is calling us to follow. How are we to live in Christ, to walk with him? I expect many of you here are keen gardeners, and if not gardeners, DIYers, who are happy to build and make things. And Paul uses both analogies in the epistle this morning. He talks about us needing to be rooted in him. My mother was a very keen gardener, and I remember, you know, she would plant out seedlings and talk about how they had to be looked after and nurtured to become established. And so do we, so that our roots grow deep in the soil in which God has planted us. If you're more building-oriented, then you'll understand the need for a building to be built on firm foundations. And I call to mind a song we're not going to sing this morning, but "Upon the Solid Rock I Stand," as we follow Jesus. And as we are built on the rock, as our roots grow in that soil, we are being made complete in Christ. What Paul says here is that in Jesus, the fullness of the deity dwells bodily. He is affirming back to the Colossians, Jesus is God. And then he says, and you, we, me, all of us have come to completeness in Christ. We have come to fullness in him. And Paul is saying this because he's wanting to overcome the pressures that were on that young Colossian church to be bound by rules about how they should act, how they should praise, how they should offer thanksgiving, how they should celebrate festivals or not. And what we are called to do is to claim our liberty from all that. Not to be subject to doubts in this increasingly secular and atheistic world. This cynical world that will deny the truth of any faith. And that great theologian Spurgeon gives a good definition of what our completeness is using this passage. He says, we are complete without the aid of ceremony, without the help of philosophy, without, as he describes it, the inventions of superstition, or indeed of human merit. We are complete through Christ alone. And so what Paul is saying here, and indeed as is drawn out in our other readings, is that we are called to go straight to God. God has made that way open for us through Jesus Christ. In the reading from Genesis, you might like to look at when you go home, it's the story of how Abraham appears to be pleading with God over Sodom. But in fact, he's discovering God's plan for justice and leniency. Paul starts by saying, if there are only 50 righteous ones there, will you not forgive them? And he goes right down to 10. He didn't dare say to God, if there's only one there, but in fact, if there were only one there, God would have forgiven that city. So in that reading, if you look at it, Abraham is discovering what God already wants. In the gospel reading, where the disciples ask Jesus to teach how to pray, he teaches us in our walk with God to talk with him in our prayer, to cover the sublime, that deep topic about the kingdom of God, to the mundane, God's provision of our daily bread. And in that, we discover the plan of God for our forgiveness. And in this letter to the Colossians, Paul tells us to discover God's plan for his relationship with us. Be aware of the spiritual battle that we are entering. Twice, Paul talks about how he is overcoming the rulers and spiritual powers. And part of the heresy was that the Colossians were told they needed to believe in worshipping through the angels. And Paul is saying, no, come directly to Christ. He's telling us to pester him with prayer, to seek what we desire of God and what he desires of us. And he wants us to bring our true self to him as we bring our daily story to him. He wants to hear that story from you. And it's a question of bringing our needs to him, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right through the week. Every day, he wants us to walk with him and to talk with him. And finally, we are able to do this because he calls us to stick with the truth of the gospel and to be nourished through that intimacy that he calls us to share with Christ. Because Christ is our head, as Paul writes in that last verse. We need to hold fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. In him we are made complete. Amen.